Good evening. Harbor Commission meeting Tuesday, February 6, 2024, at 7 p.m., Borough Hall, 100 First Avenue, Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. The regular meeting of the Atlantic Highlands Harbor Commission is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Two River Times and by posting it on the bulletin boards in the Harbor Office and Borough Hall reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3, 2024. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call, please.
Mr. Calzerta?
Here.
Ms. Forbes? Mr. Curry?
Here.
Mr. Kraus? Mr. Sawyer?
Here.
Mr. Sutton?
Here.
Mr. Wall?
Here. Please stand for a pledge of allegiance in a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Administration part of the meeting. Approval of December 5th, 2023 regular meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. A roll call, please.
Mr. Calzerta?
Yes.
Mr. Kerr?
Yes.
Mr. Sawyer?
Abstain.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes.
Actually, it was up on December 3rd.
Approval of December 5th, 2023 executive session meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Calzerta?
I'm going to abstain. I'm also going to rescind my, I was not at the December 5th meeting. I'm going to abstain for the December 5th meeting as well, since I was not there.
Okay, thank
you. I apologize about that.
It's okay, thank you.
Mr. Curry?
Yes.
Mr. Kraus? Mr. Sawyer?
Abstain.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes. Approval of the January 3rd, 2024 reorganization meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Calzerta?
Yes.
Mr. Curry?
Yes.
Mr. Sawyer?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes. Payment of bills from the December 14th, 2023, in the amount of $234,243.92.
I move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Calzerta?
Yes.
Mr. Curry?
Yes.
Mr. Sawyer?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Wong?
Yes. Payment of bills from December 28th, 2023 in the amount of $2,245.99.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Calzerta?
Yes.
Mr. Curry?
Yes.
Mr. Sawyer?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Wong?
Yes. Payment of bills from January 11th, 2024 in the amount of $252,557.61.
I move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Calzerta?
Yes.
Mr. Curry?
Yes.
Mr. Sawyer?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. And finally, the payment of bills from January 25th, 2024, in the amount of $196,740.87.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Calzerta?
Yes.
Mr. Curry?
Yes.
Mr. Sawyer?
Yes.
Mr. Sutton?
Yes.
Mr. Wong?
Yes. Move on to number 8, correspondence. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, the commission may remove that item from the correspondence and consider it separately. The Atlantic Islands Recreation Committee is requesting facility use for several events throughout the year. The Atlantic Islands Fire Department is requesting permission to use the Atlantic Island Harbor for the 2024 Atlantic Islands Fireman's Fair from June 30th to July 6th, with fireworks on Friday, July 5th, 2024, with a rain date of the 6th. New Logic Marine Science Camp is requesting use of the fishing and kayak beach for their Marine Science Education Day Camp from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. during the weeks of July 8th, August 12th, August 19th, and August 26th. Boat Safe US LLC is requesting use of the senior building to hold boating safety classes and exams various states throughout the year. A request from Mother Debbie, the Reverend for All Saints Memorial Church, to offer ashes on Ash Wednesday at the dock leading to the C Street Ferry on February 14, 2024. Jack Campy, on behalf of Fins for Freedom, is requesting to use the Senior Center to offer breakfast and dinner before taking active duty and military veterans fishing. Henry Hudson is requesting use of the tennis courts for the spring tennis season. Brian Dunn, on behalf of the Sandy Hook Bay Anglers, is requesting use of the senior building the second Friday of each month for their club meetings from February to November. And finally, Chris Stefan from Lucky Dog Surf School is requesting to reserve the skate park to hold a skateboard clinic during the weeks of June 24th, July 8th, July 22nd, August 5th, and August 19th. Does anyone want to...
I just want to point out a potential conflict.
Okay.
The Atlantic Islands Fire Department is requesting use of the harbor till June 30th through July 5th. And the Boat Safe USA is requesting use of the senior building for classes and exams. One of the dates is Sunday, June 30th from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. There may be some conflict. And they're giving a class and the fire department is moving in and out of the senior building with their freezers and refrigerators. It could be quite disruptive.
It's flexible with the date, so I can just let
them
know that
that
is not
going to
be
just
no movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mr. Curry.
And I have some questions regarding the skate park.
Okay. So, why don't we remove that and we can discuss that?
I'm here for the podcast.
Okay, great. We're going to remove it from the consent, okay, and then we'll go back and discuss that.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any comments on the correspondences? Okay, so I have a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Calasarda?
Yes.
Mr. Curry?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Sutton?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes. Okay. The other item that is on there is Chris Stefan from Lucky Dog Surf School is requesting to reserve the skate park. Pretty much throughout the summer in the mornings. Mr. Colasero.
Yeah, I mean, is this 5 days per week? Is it
5 days or per week from 8 to 10 a.m.?
And I know we have summer camp that occurs. Do they use the skate park during the summer or?
So there are, the summer camp activities vary, and if there are elements within the borough that they are welcome to use, so it may not be on their actual set schedule,
right,
but they are they have the right to use any borough facilities should they wish to, as long as they're booked.
Got it. My concern with that would be that, you know, this is the time when all the school kids are off, they, you know, they'd have less access to the skate park. And the residents, and I know it's early in the morning, but during the summer, the skate park is utilized, you know, every single day, really reserved for the town.
I'm more concerned about the frequency, if it happens sporadically. You know, I'm less concerned, but 5 days a week seems a little onerous on the community. I don't know what you guys think, but I think 5 days a week is probably a bit much. I would be in favor if it were truncated in terms of the frequency a little bit.
Is the skate park getting much usage prior to 10 a.m.?
Actually, the kids are usually waiting for us to unlock the gates. Usually, especially at this time during the summer. If it rains, they're calling us, asking us to open up, even though the whole park is full of water. Okay? And we have to tell them, no, we can't open it up until it's completely dried out.
What time does it open up?
First thing in the morning, typically about 8 o'clock. And usually, like I said, it's not only kids. There's a couple of gentlemen probably in their 30s, late 30s, or like 40s, that are avid skateboarders that are always there. And they're not nice about not being able to get into the park at times.
It is well utilized for, you know, for the residents. Mr. Stefan, have you considered or explored any other skate parks in the area?
I have. There are some of the other skate parks, and some residents have their own dedicated certain skate camp. Highlands, they have their new skate park that they just built, but they're not interested in a camp per se. They're thinking about running their own town-wide skate camp. And other than that, I mean, there's a skate park in Neptune, and it's extremely busy. My son goes there all the time, and it's very, very busy. It would be impossible to hold a credit card skate camp there. So, you know, this is just kind of leading off of our service school programs. We're located in Seabright. We have a couple of locations in Seabright. We're partnered with County Parks and City Residents. And this is just another offering that we've got having for our mind now. And we're not necessarily set on these 5 weeks, but we were hoping to offer at least some sort of schemes but mostly, obviously, children. I'm a teacher there, and my partner, my business partner, as well as the search shop, is he right in front of us.
Great sweatshirts. Great sweatshirts.
Do you know who your clientele would be on this? Do you have your own clientele in other areas that would be coming to the area, or what are you looking to draw?
I mean, we're just looking to draw from the general population of towns around here. I mean, we're drawing from Marion, the Bronx, and Seabright, Middletown. We get a lot of Middletown clients. We get a lot of Highlands, Highlands families that come to our research school. So, I mean, we're drawing from all over this part of Roosevelt County.
Mr. Wall, I don't know if you know, but in Middletown, they just recently not up, actually 4 blocks from where our park is, they just built a brand new, huge, huge skateboard park. It's not open yet.
Right.
It's finished. The kids are actually jumping over the fence to get in there. I go there on weekends walking my dog down the trail, and they're climbing the fence all over that thing.
That's what I hear from some of the people that are at the skate park that we want to jump over. That's the I haven't explored that yet.
You've got to take a look at that part. It's beautiful. And it's got a huge parking lot to do.
Okay. Yeah, my reasoning behind taking the Atlantic Islands is mainly because this is probably one of the least crowded spots around this area. Seeing as I'm taking my son here, there's been one other guy here. I guess it depends based on the, I'm sure the popular practice is to utilize the skate park, but that was our reasoning behind trying to set up the program here.
I'm sorry, I have a quick question. So, directed at Lou, because you've been here the longest. Lou, to your knowledge, has the borough rented out or utilized that facility in this type of fashion in the past, in terms of an outside entity coming in and reserving it?
No.
I'm just asking out of curiosity, because I don't know the background of the usage of that facility.
There's nothing that I know of, other maybe an occasional birthday party or something, but that's usually in the off season.
Would there be a fee for the attendees?
Yes.
I have a suggestion, and the commission can discuss this, but instead of voting on this tonight, because of all the weeks that you're requesting at this time, and you said you might have some flexibility there, how about if during this next couple of weeks we have a member of the commission on one of our committees discuss with you, and maybe we could come to some type of an agreement on times, hours, or whatever, instead of just saying no.
Sure.
Is that acceptable?
I really appreciate that, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so, Jessica, we'll table that to the next meeting. Okay, thank you. All right, so we're going to need a vote.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to table.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Cosarda?
Yes.
Mr. Curran?
Yes.
Mr. Sawyer?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Wong?
Yes. Committee reports. Finance, Mr. Curry.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to cover both December and January in my conversation tonight. I'm looking at December's utility income report. We were up for the year, excluding fuel, 2.5%, which is kind of in line with our average rate increase. When you factor in the fuel, the fact that fuel prices have been down year over year, 22 to 23, we were actually down 3.4% in overall income. However, we were over budget for the year. For 2024, the year is starting off a little bit slower than January of 2023. We're down 33%. I know there's some tenants who are a little behind on rent payments, but I believe there's been conversations that's coming in shortly, and hopefully February will turn around our drop in income for the year. Fuel prices are kind of in line, actually up slightly from the prior year, and that's due to gallons of fuel, not necessarily price. The budget is currently being reviewed by the borough administrator and the CMFO. I believe that'll be presented to the mayor and council shortly.
In the next few months.
Thank you.
That's all I have for you.
Thank you. Leases, Mr. Sawyer?
No report this evening.
Thank you. Personnel, Mr. Sawyer?
No report.
Thank you. Operations, Mr. Sutton?
Two things. We have received two prices in from two different sign companies for the sign we discussed and put on the senior citizen building. One price is $750, the other is $1,100. I have a sample of the sign that the operations committee feels we should move on. Delivery would be probably 3 or 4 weeks once we get to the door. And secondly, the 8 pilings that Mr. Fleeger ordered late last year have arrived. They came in the first week of January. Spoke to C Street, I think, last week or the week before, and they fully intend to do their piling work the end of March or early April. So once that gets going, our bindings will be installed at the same time.
Great, thank you. There'll be no clean marina report today. Special events, Mr. Colasurdo?
None other than the correspondence that we received regarding the cornucopia of events that have made applications to use our harbor over the course of the year.
Okay, thank you. I just want to advise the commission that the mayor and the special events committee, the mayor will be requesting a meeting with the special events committee and the borough recreation committee, you know, basically to keep us in sync and a better plan so that we don't have any overlap throughout the year. Administrator report, Mr. Perugino.
No report this evening.
Thank you. Attorney's report, Mr. Cannon.
Yes, as you all received my email earlier this week, we made significant progress regarding the Tobo building and receiving our full expert support. We'll be discussing that further in the executive session.
Thank you. Harbor manager, Mr. Flieger.
Yes, sir. Belly's Plumbing has removed all the ball valves that have been hanging from the ceiling down in the old fisherman's den. They've cleaned up all the plumbing in that area. Soden's just finished with all the electrical today. That's all cleaned up. The harbor crew has taken down all the drop ceiling in that area. And all this is in preparation of C Street making that the ticket office for their business. They should be starting soon. They have to still have their contractors fill out the building permits. And they've had an architect in there that's already come up with a plan for them. So that should be coming soon. All mooring inspection results have been sent out to the mooring customers. That was done between the 10th and the 12th of January. I sent them all out. The harbor office has sent out all the berth, second half of the berth mooring invoices that were due on March 1st. The dinghy dock on the east end of the harbor that was damaged has been rebuilt. The guys took care of that a couple of weeks ago. TNA services will be in to repair Pier 3 T-head and Pier 1 T-head. You know, when we have these winter weather and the water's really hopping, as the piers are getting older, things are starting to break, and he comes in and fixes it for us. I've met with the CMFO and discussed the budget for the harbor for the 2024 year. And that is now with him and Mr. Perugino. Also, I had the bathroom floor in the harbor replaced. Since the day I got there, it has been falling apart. And I finally got two of the guys to pick up some flooring, and we put all vinyl flooring in instead of rolled linoleum that just falls apart. So, looks really nice. They did a nice job. And I think that's it, pretty much.
Okay. I have one quick question. Mr. Flieger, were they able to address that elbow that used to extend down below the drop ceiling?
Yes.
And, you know, did they fix that or
wrap that or something? Actually, the plumber went and talked to Mr. DeBarry upstairs, and they actually moved it to actually under the bar, set where it belongs, and put a drain there, because remember, if you're ever up in on the deck, there was a platform you had to walk across to get behind the bar. Well, the reason for that was all the lines from the drains from the ice and the coolers would run underneath there all the way over to where that elbow was, and drain in there, which leaked everywhere all the time. That's all been removed, and everything has been put underneath the bar, so drains drain right directly below.
That's great news.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Assistant manager report, Mr. White.
Just one thing, myself, Mr. Perugino, two engineer representatives from CME and representatives from FEMA all had an initial construction meeting regarding the grant that was received for the bulkhead down in the harbor. And CMD is putting a plan together at this time.
Good, thank you. All right, now is the public portion of the meeting. If you'd like to address the commission, please raise your hand, state your name and address. Okay, let's start with Muriel Smith.
Hello, Muriel Smith. I live at 29 Leonard Avenue. First of all, I want to commend you. I have never heard such a courteous, polite, helpful response to Mr. Stepman from anybody ever had a meeting where you. You want to research some stuff, you want to look into things, and yet you still want to help them out. And that's just a pleasure to hear, so thank you very much for all of that.
Thank you.
It's great to hear that.
Thank you.
I also wonder if you do rent it out, do you charge him for this?
Yeah, we have a fee schedule for any of the properties that we lease out on the in the harbor.
Okay.
For the gazebo, for example, if you want to rent it for 4 hours for a wedding, there's a fee involved. So yes, there would be a fee involved.
So it's never been requested at the same time of the skate park before?
No,
I'm not aware of it.
Not at all.
So you have
there's a fee for it, yes.
There's a regular fee for whatever you rent, it's the same thing no matter where you rent it?
Oh no, not the same amount. No, everything would be different. There's hourly rates if you're going to be parking trailers down there, if you're going.
So is there one established?
For the skate park,
yeah.
I believe it's $200 a day.
Yes.
I thought maybe there wasn't, then you never mentioned that before.
Okay.
And then my question is, and I realize you're going into executive session, but.
Excuse me a second, I don't want to misspeak. It's $200, I think, for four hours, I believe. There is a fee schedule. I just didn't want to, you know, because. You know, we're not going to rent it out for the day under any conditions. I wouldn't think if the public, you know, the local people have a right to the point. Okay. I'll slow down. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize for that. Once you're here. I know you're going into executive session on CAPA, but is there going to be any action taken into that?
No, we won't have any action taken.
No action?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Do you have any idea of what it's costing in, no offense, in attorney fees buying this CAPA? Negotiating with CAPA, whatever word it is?
I can't say offhand. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't have those figures in front of me either.
I'm just wondering whether, and I don't mean to offend Mr. Cannon.
No, I
believe in the attorney half the time, so I'm only taking half.
I'm sorry?
I've only been the attorney for half of the lawsuit, so I'm only taking half offense. I could say that I've billed about $6,500 over the last year, something like that, on the litigation. I mean, I know how much it is because that's me.
Right.
There was an attorney before me,
yes,
so I can't speak that on that either. But I can tell you, I'm sitting here, I can tell you it's about $6,500 I'm trying to.
I believe
the question is, I know the borough gave these people permission to lease the building, and yet they're fighting the person that built it, the company that built it, after they gave people permission to use it, because they, I would hope to God that they figured that everything was perfect in it. So I'm just wondering whether it wouldn't be cheaper to make the repairs
and
drop the lawsuit
and
save the attorney fees.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Do you want me to answer that?
Okay, go ahead.
There's two different standards, right? So you basically, it's okay for lease, it's habitable, it's not unsafe, but it's not ideal. It's not perfect, as you said at the end.
But it was unsafe.
It floods and it has water in it, but that's not necessarily, you know, it's not going to burn down because there's electrical issues in it or something that would be an issue with the CO. It's not a perfect building. We all know that. That's why we're all sitting here talking about it.
Right.
But it's not unsafe. And part of what we're going to discuss in executive session tonight is we had an expert architect come and look at the building. You could, you're clearly familiar with it, so if you've been following it, there's been various measures taken to try to stop the water from coming in the building. And it's not a secret that the architect has determined that the cladding on the outside of the building isn't sealed properly. I mean, the trim, the windows, the VTEC units, and various things. And we're going to discuss in executive session how to move forward in light of the potential cost of remediating that versus the cost of litigating it. And the issues that you're talking about is exactly what we're going to discuss in the back. But your points are well taken. I mean, that's the heart of our discussion.
This engineering report is an engineering report that we've been waiting for about 6 months. We had gotten a preliminary one about 3 months ago, basically giving us an overview of what we already knew about some of the problems and everything else. They came out and did an invasive inspection, took pieces off, photographed it, and compared it to the architect's plans. And that's what we're going in to discuss today. We have a report now that explains each deficiency, why and how it was caused, and how to remedy it as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Smith? Alan Smith, 31 City Hall, Red Bank. Looking to find out what you guys are thinking about the head notice. You know, another head note that's sold, moved out of town. There's quite a few rumors that another head note is pretty much being sold. This will be its last year. And the downs and slopes. Have you guys thought about what they're going to do? Because, you know, it's a big chunk of what money comes in, and it's a big part of why a lot of people come to this harbor is for these head notes. We've had slips happening for quite a while. I guess it's a dying issue.
Understood. Lou, do you want to comment on that?
Well, basically, we have a new head boat, but it's not a head boat. It's a it's basically Captain Dan's boat. He sold the old Mariner. He bought a much larger version, and that is actually we're allowing him to put his boat in one of those spots. And we've been thinking about that a lot lately about, okay, how are we going to reuse these spots as they are, or do we need to change them?
This next one that I heard they were leaving as well, we didn't get together. We've discussed it down at the harbor on ideas and what we need to do. We can't rely on the head boats, and you're talking about 25,000, 30,000 each one. But if that's something that you have particular ideas on or would like to be part of a committee to help us to maybe find somebody in there to occupy that space or an idea of what we could put in that space. It's a lot of area, and if we only have two head boats left, say, maybe we could move them to another part of the piers and utilize that whole walk-up area for something. We don't, you know, dock and dine, I don't know what, but we're trying to discuss things that would help the
last year that his father owns the Keyboard Princess, and he was looking for, you know, I'd be more than happy to be on the committee and share my ideas. There, you know, it seems like it's a dying industry, which we all know. So maybe we got to kind of look at making the guys that are still there that they can have a viable business. I'm not against capitalism, making money, but if they can't survive on what they're being charged, maybe as a group of guys, got to look at making it, because it is a big part of why people come to Atlanta.
The thing that has been keeping them sustainable, obviously, is the last 3 years, each time one leaves, it keeps the group, you know, they make a little bit more, but now they're down to two,
right,
but like you said, it's done.
The guy that came last year, he did sit in front of the commission and say, he wanted to come as a different kind of boat because he can't show the report.
That was a small
maybe
boat.
Like the Majo is a charter boat that does private charters. Maybe you make it, you know, and then he's not in that front row because there is restrictions, correct? And it's got to be a head boat, and those slips are more expensive. So maybe there's something that can be done to keep that looking like it's viable. It just doesn't but good for any of the businesses, half of the meeting.
And the thing that we've kept in mind, and I think it's the most important thing, the head boys have been here forever, and these guys have given their blood, sweat, and tears down here. So every time we come up with an idea, it sort of impacts them. So we're looking for something that, you know, we can satisfy everybody with. So your input would be, you know, greatly appreciated.
More than happy to help.
Thank you.
And Smitty, we're, that gentleman you're talking about, we're still waiting on him to give us an answer.
I don't know that, we've been
worried about it, for sure.
It's
a lot of money.
That's a lot that you hear, you know, in the last 5 years, four or five votes.
Yeah, okay.
It's scary.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Fisher?
Mark Fisher, I'm with Mary Avenue. I have a couple of procedural questions, and that's one of the questions. Item number 9, consent agenda. I don't ever remember this board, this commission, having a consent agenda approved on this agenda. However, if you read the statement as deleted from the correspondence, it is very similar to Mayor and Council consent agenda deleted. So I think it's almost like the correspondence and action from those correspondence is being handled as a consent agenda, because you're voting on anywhere from one to, like tonight, nine items, right? So I'm confused as to why there's never a consent agenda, but we handle item number 8, correspondence, usually as a consent agenda. Because you are voting on every single piece, every request that comes in for the harbor facilities in a consent agenda type structure, like we see at the mayor and council. So I'm a little confused. Should we get rid of number 9, or just make the correspondence that you need to take action on consent agenda items with that lead-in statement legally?
Yeah, so from a legal standpoint, I would defer to the attorney, but I think from a procedural and Robert Rules of Order standpoint, and I don't have any of my notes from school in front of me, but I think I hear what you're saying, and it makes sense. But I'm not necessarily sure the way it's laid out is incorrect. It might be redundant to have 9 where it is, right? So I'm in line with what you're saying, and if it was placed, you know, on top or included in that number 8, because that's essentially what we did tonight, right? Even though we did one vote, right? So, again, I don't know if it's incorrect, but yeah, I think your point is well made, and we might need to look at that.
So I actually can comment on this. We used to do a consent agenda, and all of those items were on the consent agenda. And I believe, actually, if somebody from the public, I don't know who, actually questioned that. It may have been.
Mark, are you sure? Mark, are you sure?
So what we did was, because a consent agenda, we're normally in a mayor and council meeting, you as a public would have been able to comment. However, what we did as the commission is, because these items are really just approved by the commission, that's why we listed it under correspondence. I was actually advised to change that when you brought that question up. So that is why we do it as correspondence. Consent agenda is still on there because throughout the year, when we do have to vote for a resolution, which is very rare thing that we have to do, but if we do have to do that, that's where the resolution will go. And then at that point, you can go to the public comment.
Yeah, I think where the, I don't want to say confusion because that's not the right word, but I think where the concern is, and correct me if I'm wrong, at least from my standpoint, is the wording consent agenda, right? Where while we're taking a cumulative vote where we can on all of them, unless we pull one out like we did tonight, there's still a second process there, which is the council, right? So, you know, I think it's one of those situations where we could take another look at it and possibly alter the way we lay it out.
Okay, my next question is, at mayor and council meetings, I think you can compare this to that one, but I see the procedure, okay? The public has the opportunity to make comments on consent agenda items or any other item on the agenda prior to any voting going on. Okay? Now, I had a lot of questions about item number 8 for all the reasons he was. And no disrespect to you, Mr. Stephens, but he had a lot more time to ask questions than anybody in the public and to make comments. I had very similar questions about the fee structure, closing the park for 5 days a week, 4 weeks in the summer, you know, for our kids. I had a question about the beach that's being requested for the other school. And there's like 4 or 5 items on here requesting facilities with no dates. It's just a blanket request. I mean, I get it. Even like the schools, the tennis courts, they know what their schedule is. They have to tell the other schools. It's set in stone at this point. So I don't get how we can not ask any questions on a lot of these, but the public doesn't get to question it at all. Whereas at the mayor and council meeting, we do. So I guess it's a request. Can we add a public comment portion prior to any of, like after you all vote on the bills and the minutes, but prior to any of the votes? Just like we do at council. It seemed to me the process should be the same. And now that I think about it, the public even has the opportunity at planning board meetings to make comments on anything, not even on the agenda. Just make a comment or ask a question. And yet here, we don't have that opportunity.
Makes sense what you're saying. I can't, I really don't know. I don't have the answers. We're going to have to look into it. Do you have any comment?
Yeah, so the Open Public Meetings Act requires at least one portion of a meeting, any public meeting like this, planning board, zoning board, council, to be set aside for public comment. Many governing bodies, including ones that I work for, include a second, so the legal requirement is one, right? So we're okay here. Yeah. Many governing bodies include an earlier one before there's action taken on items on the agenda, which is typically public comment on agenda items only. So that's at the discretion of the commission. We could add that item to executive session tonight, and we can advise you legally on it, and you guys can make a decision, and we can prepare the agenda as you would wish next time. That's okay with all of you.
And it makes sense what you're saying as far as, even when I was talking to Smitty about his input, you know, you out there, you know, our neighbors, you have an opportunity to see things that some of us don't see, and it would be helpful to us. So let's discuss that, and I will get back to you.
I have another thing for you to discuss.
Okay.
Last year, you and I had a conversation, Mr. Wall, about a post-executive session where there was action taken, and once again, the public was not allowed to make a comment on what you were voting for. And I asked the question, is there a legal requirement that the public is excluded from that conversation prior to a vote? Or can you add opening up questions or comments from the public prior to you voting on whatever action you bring out of executive session? It technically, to me, it becomes an agenda item. If you talk about something in the back and it comes out and you need to vote, it's no different from any other item on the agenda. The public should have an opportunity to comment on it. Know what you talked about and have comments or questions.
When we're taking action.
I see your point on that. I'll take issue with the fact that you get to know what we talked about in the executive session. But one thing, I think another way around that as well, is if there's an, like oftentimes when we go into executive session, we know what the potential action is. And so, you know, the other way around that, instead of opening it back up for another round of public comment, is to just include what that action item potentially could be after executive session on the agenda, so the public has a chance to comment on it.
So you're saying, yes, we should have the opportunity?
Yes, we should be transparent, as you're asking. So there's another way to do it other than opening up again, is to put that resolution on there if that's the expected action, so that you can comment it during the first one we're talking about if we decide to do that.
But normally the public is told we can't comment on that because it's executive session.
What I'm saying is there's no, if the action has to be public. So you can list the action on the agenda So the public can address it before the governing body ever even goes into executive, or the body even goes, I shouldn't say governing body, commission even goes into executive session, either accomplish the same purpose that you're looking for.
I think there would be a conflict because, and I'm disrespecting you, Mr. Burke.
No problem.
But he loves to tell me we can't talk about it because it's an executive session. And I can't blame him.
Well, he's doing a good job.
So I can see this as being a conflict if we do start doing this. And then I asked a specific question about something you haven't talked about yet back there. And you're going to say, hey, I can't talk about it because
okay, I see
it's an executive session.
We'll add that to our...
Okay, I view it a little bit differently, but we'll talk about it in executive session.
Yeah, we'll talk about it today, and we'll come up with procedures that address, I think...
But I view it a little bit differently.
So he would be able to comment, possibly, on the scenario we just discussed in the public section, in the public...
That's another way to do it.
Saying, because it's already on the agenda, you know what we're going to be talking about in the executive session, so you could possibly ask questions then. Is that...
As long as I'm not told that we can't talk about it because we're going into executive session, that's great.
Okay, well, if we're going to take an action, we all have to know. We're not going to be behind that.
We'll add that to our discussion.
Yeah. May I say something?
Yeah.
If it's going into executive session and you're not taking action on it, it's still, you know, they can't ask you what you did in executive session. The only time they can ask you about an executive session item is if you bring it back out into the public and you are going to vote on it.
Right, and that's all he's asking for. If there's a public action, the ability to comment on it one way or another. Right. There's just different ways to skin the cat, so we can talk about what works for the commission and your points, so we'll take it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Speaking of executive session, I'm sorry, I forgot a question
I'm going to ask before we are asked that people are so informative, I appreciate it. Are three votes sufficient to approve amendments?
Yes. If other people
have four. We have four.
So,
there were three that voted on the minutes of the January meeting, was it?
The December one, yeah, because two of us were not at the December meeting.
Right, and the standard is the majority of the members present, not the entire body. So there's five members here, three voted. In the case of minutes, it often goes to, are there enough people left who are still here? A majority of those that were present at that meeting were still on the body.
There were three that were present at that meeting that voted.
Yep. Out of five that are present tonight.
Five were present at that meeting?
No, five are present right here, right now.
So how can they vote on a meeting? How can their vote count either way on a meeting that they didn't attend on? If the minutes were approved at the next meeting that five members that were present were here, and you voted against them, then they would pass.
So we didn't vote against the minutes, we abstained. It wasn't a no vote.
So three votes is enough. So the way to get minutes approved is to...
It was three yeses, so two abstains, zero noes. Right. So
it meets both standards. My point to you is there's two people that were present at the December meetings that are no longer members of this commission. So we reduced the number of eligible as well. So it's five. You follow me? Okay, so it meets that standard, and it also meets the standard of the quorum of the members present here today. Happens if we fell short of that, and then say there was, let me say it again.
You got me with the first one.
There's five people here. You need three votes to pass anything other than something that has heightened requirements, which at that commission there's nothing. Okay, so there's a majority of the members present here today voted yes. Now let's say that there were only three members that are still on this body. Let's say two people resigned, they're replaced at the beginning of the year. Then there'd be three people eligible to vote on those minutes at this dais, and we would count a majority of the members that were at that meeting that are still on the body.
So
by either standard here tonight, both of them meet it. Three of the members present, and three of the five people that are left on the commission that are eligible to vote and attend that meeting, approve the minutes, so we're okay. Minutes are a special animal, so...
Right, okay.
Because the body can change over the course of any, whatever the terms are.
Whatever, right.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Executive session. You want to?
Yes. So at this time, we need a motion to go into executive session to exclude the public from matters that are confidential. Specifically, those matters are Borough of Atlantic Highlands versus Kappa, which is a litigation matter. We'll also be discussing an attorney-client privilege matter, which is the agenda and meeting procedures. The executive session will take approximately 25 to 35 minutes, and no action will be taken after we adjourn the executive session. We'll merely adjourn this meeting. So if I can have a motion?
All in favor?
I need a motion and a second.
I'll second it.
You'll second.
Thank you.
All
in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, can I have a motion to leave executive session and return to our regular meeting?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting adjourned.